I'd like to say it's good to be here tonight. I hope, and I don't believe we failed to mention how good the singing has been this week, playing the piano and the organ. The ones that's led to singing, they have done a wonderful job, and I want to tell them that. It takes everything. I have really been impressed with the way the church has worked. That tickles me to death. That's old time religion. When I was a kid, people would work with sinners, and I'd see people around the altar. I'd see people sing and testify and shout. We've seen every bit of that here this week, and I am so thankful for that. I just wanted to say that before I start preaching. Tonight, if you remember what Brother Jeff preached last night, I hope that we hadn't forget, but he talked about time, didn't he? That's what he preached on, about time. Well, it's amazing, ain't it, that the Lord, He wants me to preach about time. Amen. I got to thinking about that today, and I didn't know what he was going to preach on last night, and I'll just tell you, 90% of what I'm going to preach on tonight, God had already given it to me before I got here last night. So, what's amazing about this is God is trying to show us something. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I believe we are right there at it. I do. I sincerely believe that we're right at the end of time. I think it was about 3 years ago I preached a message here about time. Us being in the time when the Lord come back. That's been 3 years ago. I really believe at any moment that the Lord is going to come back.
Amen.
I do. I'm looking for it. Yeah. We're supposed to be looking up. Each and every one of us that's been saved by God's grace. The Lord said, when you see these things, look to heaven. Look up. And I believe that tonight. I think we don't look up near enough to look to see the Lord coming back. But I want you to think about time, and I thought about this, and I thought about even going buying one. I didn't, but I thought about an hourglass. Most every one of us know that when you turn an hourglass over and you turn it over, when that sand goes to the bottom of that, time's up. Right? Time's up. Most of us here tonight have played different kinds of games, and you got a certain amount of time. Okay? And when that dial goes around and it hits zero and makes that noise, time's up. So I want you to think about that tonight, because I think, sinner friend, if you're here tonight and you're lost and you're separated from God, well, if this is the first night that you realize you're lost, or if God's grace has been bestowed upon you and you've been able to seek the Lord, you need to be hurrying it up. You need to be hurrying it up to get to the Lord. I'm going to read some verses of Scripture found in the book of Luke, the 19th chapter. Now, we're at Lafayette Missionary Baptist Church, and I want you to notice what Jesus done here. The Lord went to a certain place, and the Scripture says this. I want to just read it to you. It says that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. So he went in Jericho and he passed through Jericho. There's going to come a day that the Lord, he's going to come through his churches. He's going to go in and he's going to go right out, and it's going to be over with. Right. Listen, he done that. It was very important. He went through that. Notice this. It says, And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. So what happens to a lot of people is when things come around about them, and it's a little hard for them, what they do is they give up. But this man didn't give up. He wasn't going to let nothing stop him from seeing Jesus.
Jesus. So what did he do? He went and he climbed up in a sycamore tree where he could see the Lord.
Amen. Ain't that amazing? Amen. You see, notice what it says. It says, and he ran before, climbing up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now I want you to notice Jesus' reply. You may not take my word for it, but I'm telling you, sinner friend, if you're here tonight, you need to get in a hurry.
Amen.
You need to get in a hurry of seeking the Lord. I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you, before this service is over, it wouldn't surprise me one bit for Jesus to come through this clouds tonight. You need to get concerned. Notice what Jesus said. Let's take his word. Notice what it says. It says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste. That word haste, it means speed. It means urgent. It means be quick. It means to accelerate. He says, make haste. And it says, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. So what that means is, I believe the Lord's going to be here tonight. And I believe if you're here and you're lost and you're separated from God, I believe you need to get concerned about yourself and you need to make haste, because I'm telling you right now, you could die in your sins tonight and go to a devil's hell. You could. That's how important salvation is. Notice what it says. He said, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. What did Zacchaeus do? You see, that's a draw. That's a draw. That's what he's doing. He's drawing. We see, if the Lord's pounding on your heart right now, he's drawing you to him. You need to make haste. Look what Zacchaeus done. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Amen. Ain't that amazing? Notice what it says. It says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood, and he said unto the Lord, behold, he said, Lord, the half of my goods I have given to the poor, and if I have taken anything, you say he was honest with the Lord. He said, if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He said, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation. See, that's time. There's 24 hours in the day. It starts at 12 midnight and it ends up again at 12 midnight. He said, this day, notice this. He said, this day is salvation. Come to this house. Forasmuch as also is the Son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So what that tells me is, it was so important that Zacchaeus, that the Lord be in his house so he could receive salvation. If Zacchaeus had a plane around, Jesus went through and he'd come out and it'd been too late and he'd never been saved. That's the truth. Boy, it's something serious.
Man.
We just don't know how long. I'm telling you, son friend, I don't understand. I've seen people, they get under conviction and go back and forth and back and forth. I can't understand that, because that ain't how it happened to me. When the Lord hit me that night, I was done. I was under conviction. I didn't have no peace till that third night, till I got saved with God's grace. But listen, I knew without a doubt I needed to do something. I knew that I didn't need to wait. That's why I said, I told you the other night, the second night, I sat on the front seat because I wanted to be closer where I could get to where the Lord was.
Amen.
Yep. I did.
No.
You know what? That third night he saved me when I surrendered. So don't you think it's important tonight? for you to get concerned about yourself. Ain't no doubt in my mind. There ain't a brother and sister in here tonight that's concerned for your well-being, that you'd be saved with God's grace. I believe that with all my heart. They'd do anything in the world. They're here tonight. The lights is burning for you. Listen, you need to make haste and you need to get saved before it's too late.
Amen.
You do. Now the Lord, He gave a parable in the 25th chapter of Matthew. If you study Matthew, you go to the 24th chapter. You start with the first verse. And the Lord explained some things that He was asked. He was asked three questions. He said, when will these signs be? He was telling the destruction of the temple, what was going to happen.
Amen.
He says, they asked Him a question specifically, three of them. When will these things be? When is the sign of Thy coming? And when is the end of the world? Here He went. He took out, He explained everything to thee, all three of them, and He used some parables in them. And I want to read to you one parable. I want you to notice this tonight. If the Lord's dealing with you, you don't have to wait till I get done preaching. Listen, if God's dealing with you, come and seek the Lord. Notice this. There was 10 virgins. And 5 were wise. And 5 were foolish. 5 had oil and 5 didn't have oil. But I want you to notice how the Lord used this. And I'm going to skip around and read some of this. If you want to read it for yourself sometime, it's in the 25th chapter of Matthew. But 5 of them had oil and 5 didn't have, and He was using this as a parable. He used the virgins as the purity. Okay? But 5 were ready and 5 wasn't. But notice what it says. It says, while the bridegroom tarried, what that means is, he tarried. And I pray tonight that he'll tarry in heaven till we get through with this service, until every one of you in here tonight gets saved by God's grace. But I can't promise you that He'll carry you up throughout this night. I can't promise you that. But notice this. It says, and at midnight. I'm going to tell you something else. What is everybody going to be doing tonight at midnight, most of us? Be in bed asleep, right? Most everybody in here has will be asleep. Did you know that throughout the scriptures it's mentioned in several places about Him coming at midnight? Did you know that? The midnight cry? It is. What if He comes at midnight tonight and you don't get saved tonight? What if He comes at midnight? You're laying in the bed. Let me tell you something. But that ain't going to matter when He comes. Notice this. I want you to just picture this a minute. It says, at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet Him. I'm going to tell you, I've been trying my best. This brother's been trying his best to cry out to you and let you know that the Lord's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. That's what we're doing right now. The Lord's tarrying, and we're crying out to you tonight. Let you know that the Lord has come back. And I want you to notice what happens. It says, then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. So what they done, that's exactly what they done. They went to buy for themselves. Now I want you to think about this a minute, and I believe this. I believe when the Lord comes back that there'll be people seeking the Lord when He comes back, and if they ain't prayed through, He'll cut it off and they'll die in their sins and go to hell while they're seeking the Lord. I believe that. You know why I believe that? They went out to buy this that they needed to get in. And while they were out buying it, notice what happened. It says, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage,
and the door was shut. When the door is shut, it's open wheel. There's a timeline here, ain't there? What did he tell Noah? He said, you go and you build an ark. 120 years he built on the ark. But you know what? When he walked up in that ark, the Bible says that the Lord showed him. I'm telling you, when them floods started coming, them people started running to that door and they was beating on that door trying to get in. And they could not get in because the Lord shut the door.
Amen.
He did. He shut it.
Notice what happens. And the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Can you imagine hearing that? If you're here tonight and you're lost, and God's dealing with your heart, and you're just pushing it away, did you know that if you turn the Lord away, if you turn Him away, He's going to look you, He's going to look at you, oh, the King of Glory, He's going to look at you, and He's going to say, I do not know you. He's going to say it. I believe that. He says, watch therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. This is serious business, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about life and death. We're talking about heaven and hell. That's what we're talking about tonight.
Right.
We're talking about, listen, I'm going to tell you what. Sister Sarah Roark goes. Sarah Roark, sister. Sarah goes down there. Hey, you know, she's 95-year-old. You go and ask her if she's ever seen a time like this. She'll tell you no. If there was one living 120 years old, you go talk to them and ask them if they've ever seen a time like this, and they're going to tell you no. If we're not living in a time like it was of the days of Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Noah, I'm not standing up here. We're living in that time. Everybody, sin's called sin. Not sin, and if you go ahead and sin, then it's called good. That's exactly when the Lord's coming back. You might say, well, it'll be all right. I'll make it through tonight. We'll have another revival in July. I can get saved then. You know, there was a man taught that one time. Book of Luke. Leave it some Luke. I want to tell you right. I think it's in Luke here. See if I'm right. Yeah, the 12th chapter. It says, and he spake a parable. He said, a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, that's the first mistake he made. He thought within himself. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, Satan's going to try to convince you tonight. Just wait. Wait till you get home. That's what he's going to say. And I believe you can get saved at home. Don't you get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you get home tonight, the Lord may not be there. Listen to me. If he's dealt with you at church, you turn him away. You expect him to be there tonight when you go home and go to bed?
Amen.
He may not.
That's right.
I know people's got saved at home. Amen. I believe in that law. I believe they've got saved on every crevice of this earth. People's got saved in foxholes, in between reloading their gun, fighting in the war. I believe that with all my heart, but I'm telling you right now, God had to be there.
Amen.
He had to be.
Amen.
You may go home tonight, he may not be there. But you put him off. This is serious stuff now. We on a timeline. We on the clock. I'm telling you right now. We are on the clock. Notice this. This man, he was rich and brought forth plentiful, and he thought to himself, this is what I'll do. You know, he didn't have enough barns to put his stuff in, so he thought, I'll build me new barns, bigger barns. And he said to his soul, something was going on in there, wasn't it? He said, take thine ease, soul. So there had to be some trouble in there for him to say, take an ease, right? That's what you'd say if everything was going on, there was trouble
around you, you can say, well, I'm just going to get away from this and get some ease. Right? Some peace.
Notice what God said. This is what the Lord said. But God said. That tells me this is a parable, but it's true. Because God said. Notice this. It says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?
Notice, I'm telling you, God's got control of everything. Did you know that God can be dealing with you right now? In your heart, and your heart pounding in your chest, and he's got control of your heart, and all he's got to do is snap his fingers, and your heart will quit beating, you'll die, and you'll lift your eyes up in hell.
This is serious. We are on timeline. Ain't we? Boy, I tell you, you need to be seeking the Lord. If you're lost. You know, there's a verse of scripture in the book of Revelation. There's two verses that I want to read to you. And y'all pray for us. It says in the fifth verse of the tenth chapter of the book of Revelation. It says, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven. And he swore by him. I want you to think about that a minute. He swore by him. Who? Notice what it says. It says, and he swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth, and the things that are in, and the sea, and the things which are therein. That covers everything. Notice what he said. That there should be time no longer. So what that tells me is there's going to come a day that there's going to be an angel. And he's going to set one foot on the sea. He's going to set one foot on the land. And through that he swore that he would do this and do it for the one that created all things, he's going to declare time will be no more. Then it just starts. Yes. By that time I'm going to be gone. Did you know that? Yes. We will be gone. Those that's been mom and daddy, they ain't no more mom and daddy. Grandma and grandpa, there ain't no more grandma and grandpa. They're going to be gone. When this happens, just like this. The Bible says the dead and Christ shall rise. Listen, what it says. I want you to think about this just a minute. It says in the book of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Let me just try to picture this. Now, if you're here and you're lost, think about this. Time's been declared no more. The Bible talks about it being rolled up and rolled out like a scroll. The heaven's going to roll out. This is going to be an event. There's no timeline in it. Because you know why? Because time's no more. Think about it. It says this. It says to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. I want you to think about this. Every picture you see of the Lord, most of them, you see him, he's either holding a lamb, you see him bowed down. I don't know that I've ever seen a picture of the Lord when he really comes back. Have y'all ever seen that? But I'm going to try to my best way to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, it says that he's revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Listen, I want you to think about this. This lamb that went to the cross and died on the cross, when he comes back here, he's going to come with authority. He's going to come with power. And he's going to bring a flaming fire on him. Boy, can you imagine that? This same one's got your heart in your hand right now. He's knocking on your heart.
this same Jesus, boy, there's going to be a great transformation when he comes through them clouds on them that are lost and separated from God. Now, I want you to think about this. It says, in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Jesus Christ. I believe the gospel has been preached here every night. I believe that me and Brother Jeff and the church, that that's the carrier of the gospel in the church.
Amen.
I believe we've tried in our weak way to let you know what you've got to do to be saved by God's grace. You've got to repent towards God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's all done through God, bringing you to a place. If you'll surrender, to the Lord. We've preached that. And you've not obeyed yet because you ain't got saved. And some of you ain't even made a move yet. That's lost. Think about that. But it says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of His power. Now I want you to think about this, man. There's something else going to take place. Enoch was able to see this. Enoch was severed from Adam. Well, this happened a long time ago. This is way back there. Somewhat close to 6,000 years ago, this man. Enoch was translated. He was no longer. He wasn't there anymore. But I'll tell you what he said. In the book of Jude, it's one chapter. And he prophesied about something. I want you to notice this. It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So you know what that tells me? What that means is that when we get called up in the air, that we that's been saved by God's grace is going to have a part in this destruction of sin. That's what it tells me. Think about it. He's coming back. He's got 10,000 of his saints. And what are they going to do? It says this. It says to execute judgment upon all. A-L-L. All. Every one of them that's caught up in sin. Have you ever really thought about that? Huh? I'm going to tell you right now. I love my kids and I thank God they've been saved. I've got grandchildren. I want to see them get saved on anything. I'd walk through fire for them, but that ain't what it takes. It takes the Lord. But I'm going to tell you when that day comes, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to know them anymore. All I want to see is sin, and we'll be with the Lord, and we'll take care of sin all at once.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. I believe that with all my heart. Think about that. What does it say? To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Boys, I can't even imagine that, you know. The Lord coming back. Have lost me in here. The Bible says, you know, these kings and great men, they've got authority. There's kings. If you live in their country, they have the authority to put you to death.
Yep.
Did you know that? But the Bible says that these kings and great men, they're going to beg for the rocks to hide them. From what? From the face of the Lord.
Amen.
Where will you be, man? I just ask you tonight. You, we ask people, well, what have you got to lose? Well, I can tell you right now, you got everything to lose, and you got everything to gain. You do. You've got everything to lose if you don't seek the Lord. And if you seek the Lord, you've got everything to gain. You have. I can tell you there's scriptures. I thought about this. So, a leprous man. They were hungry. They were hungry. And they were to the point of death. And they made this statement. And I don't want to leave this out either. Elijah told a king something that was unimaginable at that time. That there's no way that a man
could really believe in his mind. And he pretty much bought him.
29.
So if I told you tonight at midnight that the Lord's coming back, that many people make no praise. Let me tell you, I can say in a surety that the Lord is coming back. Whether it's midnight or not, I don't know. But I'll tell you right now, it could be.
Amen.
Good. But he told him that. He told him, he said, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold, shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Did you know that there might be, within the next week, there might be a declarance of our country that we can't meet in this church house again?
That's right.
That we might have to meet somewhere else?
Right.
And what if you couldn't get that? What if you couldn't hear the truth of the Lord? What if God said, listen, you've heard the truth. I've tried and I've tried. I pleaded with you and I pleaded with you. I'm done with you. You think that's impossible? Let me tell you what. I was a young preacher. Used to Missionary Baptist Church. About an 80-year-old man sitting about the third seat back. Went back, talked to him 2 nights. Pleaded with him. Married, it's too late for me. I've done put him off too much. He believed that. Now, I believe he could have got saved. I'm not saying that. But he didn't believe it. He didn't believe it. He thought he went too far. And far as I know, I never heard about that man being saved. If he didn't get saved, that man died and went to hell. Because he put off the Lord. You see, these lepers, they were smart. They were leprosy. Had a disease that couldn't be cured. They were cast out from amongst the people. But they were smart. They thought within themselves. They made this statement. Let's see what it says. It says, if we say we enter into the city, the famine is there in the city, we shall die there. He said, if we sit still here, we also die. So either way, they said, if we just stay right here, we're going to die. If we enter the city, we may die there too. This is what they said. They said, he now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. And if they shall, if they save us alive, we shall live. Or if they kill us, we shall but die. Heard some testimonies, I believe. Got down the point.
Where they said, Lord,
I don't care if God died, just save me
first. Amen.
Yep. Y'all ever heard that before? Amen. Testimonies. Played one last night. Yeah. Does that kind of sound like that? But you see, God, He wants you to live. He wants you to work for it. Salvation is a privilege. It's when it starts.
Good.
You know what God done for those lepers? They were unclean. But you know what He done? You know what He's been doing for sinners? For over 6,000 years, He's been saving them. Y'all know that? So he's been saving sinners. It's lost, it's dirty, it's unclean. You know what he done? He caused them Syrians to hear a great host of chariots. Them Syrians run off.
Amen.
Them lepers walked in there.
Yeah.
They had all the food they needed.
Right.
They had all the gold they needed. They had everything. You know what God done? He made them rich. What did he do when he saved you? He made you rich. He didn't mean. I'll tell you that. He made me rich. I'm still rich in Him. Ain't you? Listen, if you're here in Lawsville, please don't put off salvation. God wants to save you. I'm telling you, we are. Time can end tonight. Our glass ain't got much in it, and it could just be used out tonight. That buzzard could go off tonight. There's going to be a great sound with it. There's going to be a trumpet.
Yes.
Yeah. Trumpet's going to sound. Listen, you know there's a verse of Scripture in Romans that says this, and I'll be done. Get you a song ready. In Romans, 2nd chapter, I believe it is. Talking to both saved and lost. Don't you think about this? This is the word of God. And that, knowing the time. I mean, every one of us in here knows we're living in perilous times. We know that it's rough. We don't know next. We might tomorrow. We might walk right up at Walmart, be in there shopping, minding our own business, and a man walk in with a gun and shoot 20 people. Listen, it can happen right up here. We don't know that. We know the time we're living in. Would you have thought about that 20 years ago? No, sir.
You wouldn't have.
No. The battle was on the fields, the war fields, like that. It ain't like that no more. They don't have, when you go to war now, they don't have another outfit like you got on. You don't know who they are. Listen, I'm telling you, that's how it is. Look what it says. It says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time. High time. That means haste. That means hurry up. That means let's go speedily. Look what it says. It's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. That's talking to the saved. But I'll tell you right now, if you're going to get saved, you better be near. You hear me? You need to get there. You don't need to put him off.
Amen.
What it says? It says the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Every bit of that's time, ain't it? Is it not? Yes, it is. It says, let us therefore cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Church, we need to be busy every day. Listen, Father and the Lord ain't just on Sunday. It's every day, single day that we live according to His Word. Let's pray harder. Let's seek the Lord harder. Yes. I still seek the Lord. Y'all?
Amen.
I sure do. I sure still seek. Sure do. You tell me where they quit. Abraham, did he just put up one altar, y'all? He just put up one? No. Several places Abraham made an altar. And others made altars. Listen, when you get saved, it just starts.
Amen.
Ain't it wonderful? Please tonight, if you're here and lost, please, if the sun comes up in the morning, you need to make sure that you're saved by God's grace. Because you know what? If you get saved, it won't matter whether it comes up or not. You know what? Think about that. If you're here lost tonight, you feel God knocking your heart, you come and seek the Lord, folks, and get Him saved. Follow the Lord. Please don't put off salvation. Please don't. God wants to save you tonight, and there may not be a tomorrow.
That's right.
Always stand together and say.